they pushed me into the trench where they could keep an eye on me, licked their respective chops, and gazed down at the most ancient of bones. But then, the grin on Snort's face began to fade. His eyes glazed over. He laid a paw upon his stomach.
Ah, muddy water not feel so good in tummy belly. Muddy water feel kind of...
His eyes popped wide open and he hiccuped. And suddenly the air was filled with 37 of the prettiest soap bubbles you ever saw. On the other side of the trench, Rip did the same. All at once, the fearsome cannibal brothers didn't look so fearsome anymore. Their legs had turned to rubber, and they were staggering around in circles, hicking bubbles. The time had come for me to move into phase two. I reached for the microphone of my mind and switched over to the alert and alarm frequency. Barking in my very loudest tone of bone, I sent out the alarm. Attention all campers! We have coyotes inside the wire. Repeat, Charlie is inside the wire. Doug McGrubber, please report to the front. We have cannibals trying to eat your bone. Maybe Doug McGrubber was a light sleeper, or maybe he actually did read my mind. Either way, he came flying out of his tent, carrying his pants in one hand and a flashlight in the other. He yelled, Dog, if you mess up my bone! When he saw the coyotes, he slid to a stop. The brothers stared at him with soggy eyes as foam dripped off their lips. Jumpin' Jiminy! Coyotes! And they've got rabies! Where's my gun? He made a dash for his pickup. By then I could hear the rumble of the voices as the other men stuck their heads out of their tents. Rip and Snort were still stumbling in circles, staring in wonder at all the bubbles in the air. I dived back into the trench. Guys, I don't mean to intrude, but you need to get out of here real fast. That man went for his shotgun. No response. They didn't even look at me. Snort, the man went for his boom boom. Do you hear me? Boom boom. Snort's eyes came into focus.
Boom boom, not so healthy for coyote.
Right, so get out of here. Run for your lives. And don't stop to smell the bubbles. They crawled out of the trench and staggered sideways towards a line of brush about 50 yards away. It was one of the funniest sights I'd ever seen. These two ferocious cannibals running away like a couple of dizzy spiders. But there was no time to laugh and enjoy it. By then, the other men had pulled on their jeans and had come running out of their tents. So I figured it was time for me to put on a little show. I took a firm three-legged grip on the ground and began firing off round after round of heavy-duty barks. And the next time you bums try to tamper with the work of science, you won't get off so lucky. The very idea of trying to eat a priceless artifact. You guys make me sick. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And if you're not, come back here and I'll give you a few lessons in charm and manners. I dare you. I double dog dare you. It was a pretty impressive show of force and righteous anger. And as you might expect, the cowards wanted no more of me. No, sir. They hit the brush and disappeared. Mr. Wilkins and Little Alfred were the first to reach me. Wilkie raked the hair out of his eyes and gazed off in the distance. What on earth is going on around here? He looked into the trench and saw the bone, then turned a stern pair of eyes on me. Hank, were you? Little Alfred placed a hand on my shoulder and gave me a look of deepest concern.
Hanky, you weren't trying to eat the bone, were you?
Me? Eat the bone? Why, I hardly knew what to say.